dwelling on God's Word and the message that it provides for all of us. I'd like to, as Freddie mentioned, spend the first few minutes, and I want to keep this to just a few minutes, giving just a very brief update on some things regarding the work in Brazil, and then we're going to focus on the one we've just been singing about, the Lord who is the one who is in the battle, who leads us in battle, and who should be glorified and magnified in everything that we do. And that's where our focus will be then the rest of the day today and the next couple of days. I'm not going to spend very much time on this, especially because much of the material that I'll mention here about the work in Brazil, you've heard before. Many of you have been watching this for more than 20 years now, have been accompanying things that have been done down there, and so I'll go very briefly through a few things. For those who may not be as familiar with the work in Brazil or the country itself, just a few very basic facts. Get an idea of the size of the country of about 200 million people in an area a little larger than the 48 United States, the contiguous states. Of course, a diversity of culture and climate for a country that starts above the equator and goes well below the tropics. So a lot of differences that come from that. Over the years that we've been in Brazil, we've seen some improvements in general in the economy. People are somewhat more prosperous than they were in the early years that we were down there. And we've also seen continuing shifts in religion, a continuing exodus from the Catholic Church, which back in the early 90s was considered to be about 90% of the population and is probably somewhere in the 65 to 70% range now. That has been one of the things that's opened up a lot of opportunities as people are questioning beliefs that they've held for generations sometimes. Many of those people leaving the Catholic Church, going into different evangelical groups, but continuing to question. And I'll mention in a minute how that sometimes brings out opportunities for us. Probably the fastest growing sector in religion in Brazil over these years has been the neo-Pentecostal movement, especially the health and prosperity messages that many are preaching, just like they do here, there on television, down there doing the same thing. Over these years, many of you are familiar with various preachers who've been involved in the work in Brazil. Some of you have made trips down there yourselves, have spent some time down there. Tim and Lori obviously lived there for a while with their family. And so there have been a number of different ones on site involved in that work, and many from a distance. The congregation here has had a big part throughout these last 21 years in the work that we're doing there. I continue to be thankful for that, as are so many other people who've been able to participate and to benefit from that. And of course, Brazilian participation is critical. Seeing that work proceed long term, that means new congregations, churches growing in different places, and just like here, churches going through the different struggles. Some face some very difficult situations in that. Brazilian preachers being developed. That's been a slow step or a slow part of the work. There are right now 3 Brazilian preachers that share in our basic convictions that are involved in that work in different parts of the country, supported full-time to do that. In most of the congregations, the different men share in the different responsibilities of teaching and preaching because they don't have someone to work with them on a full-time basis. And that means a lot of Christians being very active in lots of different parts of the country. I want to just kind of give an idea of how many of our contacts come to us. I'm referring to these as cold contacts because when you move to a country where you don't know anybody and you don't speak the language, those are the kind of contacts you work with. And as things develop and as we try to branch out into other parts of the country and reach people in different areas, that also means reaching out to find people we don't know. And so many of our contacts are what would be described as cold contacts initially. Those people will often bring friends and relatives, what we might think of as warm contacts, who often are some of the best ones. But we have to start out by seeking people that we don't know. So what happens typically is that somebody who's frustrated, maybe with teachings in the church that he's in, or maybe with some circumstance in his own life, starts to seek. And in seeking, maybe receives a publication that somebody hands him. The congregation here has helped a great deal in that aspect of the work. Or he might get on the internet and do a search and find something related to that brings him to our website. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. After a while, reading articles, watching videos, listening to messages in audio, he sends an email or he writes a letter or he maybe shows up at a Bible study. We try to do public studies in different parts of the country and have been doing that for several years. And some of those people reach a decision to obey the gospel, to allow the Lord to wash away their sins and to begin to serve them as Christians. That obviously means, as this happens in different places, the forming of new congregations. There are now approximately 30 congregations that we work with scattered throughout that geographic area that I've described, which is one of the reasons for the fairly extensive travel Brother Richter mentioned. As far as the sources of those contacts, obviously many of the good contacts are going to be primary or personal contacts, many times new converts who will bring family members or friends. We also see a lot with, have been able to do a lot with printed material, continue to be able to do a lot with printed material. I have long ago lost count of how many, I used to say hundreds of thousands, now I think we've got to be into the millions of pieces of paper have been distributed over these years to try to reach out and spread the gospel out to more and more people. Tracts and booklets and flyers being given out. Newspaper articles have been another angle that we brought in the last 3 years approximately. A man who's converted down in the southern part of the country runs an auto repair shop and knows a lot of people in the relatively small city that he lives in, including he knew one of the editors of the newspaper, the local newspaper. It's actually a newspaper that's regional. It goes out to about 40 small towns in that area. And so he pitched the idea of doing a newspaper column. What does the Bible say? Said he knew somebody that could write the articles. And so he got in touch with me, put me in contact with the editor of the newspaper. And so for the last almost 3 years, while I'm on this trip, we'll complete 3 years of doing this. Two articles, a half a page per article, two articles per week have been going out in that newspaper, reaching out to about 40 towns. It's one more way of trying to reach people. And of course, the same material can be used then in other things, in our printed material and in our website. So it's continued to go out in other ways. By far, in recent years, the internet has become our primary means of reaching new people. Our website, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, videos that are placed on that website and also on YouTube, and as other media, Facebook and other things have come into play, those have also become helpful in reaching out to more people. And just to give an idea of some of what's been done with the website, I'll mention this, and I want to emphasize from the beginning, please don't make a comparison between what I'm going to show here and a local church website. It is not the same thing. It doesn't have the same objective. It's not trying to reach the same kind of an audience. We're not trying to put out a website to get people to come to assemblies in one congregation. We're trying to teach the Bible to people who read Portuguese. That doesn't have any geographic boundaries particularly. And I'll show that in just a moment, that this is something that goes not even just out throughout Brazil, but beyond Brazil. Back in about 1995, Carl Hennecke, who preaches up in Jefferson City, Missouri, had the idea of starting to put our material onto a website. Ever since that, Carl has worked practically every single day to maintain this website, continue to put more material on it. He updates it every day and sends me a note every morning saying, I've done the update for today, so that we can then tell people about that, put it out on Facebook, and try to get it circulated around to continue to draw people into that. One of the things we've been using in the last several years have been videos, which are placed on YouTube, but then embedded in our website so that people stay on our website rather than seeing all the other garbage that they could find on YouTube. And so some of the information that I've got here, and I'm not sure I can even read this, the numbers are pretty difficult, but this one is from the last month of activity. We had a little over 30,000 video views during the month of August. And that's a pretty typical month. Roughly 1,000 people a day watching videos. Over the lifetime of the videos, it didn't start out at 30,000 a month, but we've had a little over 1 million video views. And a couple of our videos have been seen more than 100,000 times. These are pretty simple videos. This is almost a homegrown project done with very inexpensive equipment, but it's been a means of being able to reach out and to teach a lot of people. We've had some people after they were converted tell me that first time I found the website, I started watching videos and I didn't sleep that night. I spent all night going through different ones and then looking at related articles. And then I got in touch with you all and that leads up to a conversion. That kind of story has become fairly common. On our main website, to have an idea of what we're seeing on this, and this is really encouraging to me. And I think it is about anybody else who's got any kind of involvement in this. And that certainly involves the congregation here and the way you all have helped over the years. The last 3 months in a row, we've seen new records set as far as the number of visits made to the website. Now, keep that in proportion. Many of these visits, somebody's found us on Google, they've clicked on an article, they've started to look at it, and within 30 seconds, they've decided it is not what they're looking for, and they're gone. But when that happens 784,000 times in a month, which is what happened last month, some of those people stay more than 30 seconds. Some of those people continue for hours looking at different things on the site. And some of those people turn out to be excellent contacts who are eventually converted and serve the Lord. And that, in that way, the Lord continues to bless us with tremendous opportunities in a way that I never saw anywhere that I worked in the United States, but I didn't know what the internet was when I moved away from the United States. As an idea of geographic distribution, this particular graphic shows, I believe the thing is the last 500 seconds or something. No, I'm sorry, this is the activity from August 15th. It was a different slide I didn't put up here. From August 15th, 3 weeks starting on August 15th, shows basically from what places people are accessing our website. And of course you can see with that, that all of Brazil is covered, every corner of Brazil. If there's a green area there, it's probably because it truly is green. Probably part of the rainforest where nobody lives, and nobody has internet. But all throughout Brazil, but you can also see the scattering on practically every continent in the world of some people accessing our website. Just in the last few years, there have been conversions in Belgium and Italy, as well as many in Brazil, because of contact made through our website. In Brazil, we try to follow this up with public studies that we normally do in neutral locations, community centers or school buildings, places that are not identified with any particular church. We do what we refer to as study marathons, where we'll spend usually 6 hours of actual study time in one day. Normally we'll go from about 2 p.m. till 9 o'clock at night, take an hour break in that. And people, non-Christians, will come to these studies. They'll be there when we start at 2 o'clock and stay until we finish at 9 o'clock. And usually they don't leave. During the break, they'll just have a snack of some kind and continue to ask questions and talk during that time. These are open forum type studies with question and answer periods in them. We announce them by printed materials, by website. And the topics that we usually choose are intended to challenge people, to get them to really think about what they believe, not just to have something that reinforces vague ideas about the scriptures. When we talk about preaching the gospel, we need to remember that's about people. Purpose is to get the gospel out to people. And I could put dozens or hundreds of pictures of people up here. I'm going to use just a handful to illustrate some points. Renata was converted recently in the city of Franca, in the interior of São Paulo, about 4 or 5 hours from where we live. She got in contact with us through the website. I was able to put her in contact with a couple who had been converted just a few years ago in a nearby town, maybe 60 miles away, and with other Christians a couple hours away. They were very diligent about following up on that. Renata brought a friend, Thais, and pretty soon both of them had been converted. They then said, we'd like to do public studies in our town because we want to see if there are other people that are showing the same interest. So they organized everything. They found a place to do it. They put ads in newspapers. They, with help from these other brethren in these other cities, worked on handing out flyers door to door. And all I did was show up to teach the classes. I drove up there on a Saturday morning, and we started teaching at 2 o'clock that afternoon. Had an auditorium of probably about 60 people pretty well filled for the studies that day, much because of the work that they had done in preparing for that. And that involved Christians from other cities who went there to support it and to help out, but a number of non-Christians. And some who left promising that they were going to have to really examine what they had believed all their lives, even about fundamental questions such as salvation. Wagner came because his wife contacted us through the internet, and then later he taught his mother and baptized her. This was there in São Paulo, where we live. And one of the more interesting stories of recent years is Pedro. Pedro sent me an email about a year and a half ago, and what I normally do with messages like that is try to find brethren who are in the area where the person lives and pass the contact along and ask them to work with that person. And sometimes that's done because the person identifies the city. In this case, I just looked at his phone number. And I saw the first 2 digits of the phone number. Brazilian phone numbers have 2-digit area codes. I saw an area code that would be from Porto Alegre. So I passed the contact along to some brethren down there. And Thiago, one of the young men down there, started corresponding with Pedro. They studied together. Pedro had already studied quite a bit, and it wasn't very long until Pedro was starting to talk about his need to obey the gospel. At which point Chiago said, okay, now where exactly do you live? Pedro said, I'm in Canada. 5-1 was the beginning of the area code for where he was in Canada, not for where he was in Brazil. So, Chiago didn't let that stop him, continued to work with him, and Pedro made a trip to Brazil, to Porto Alegre. Chiago encouraged him to come at a time that Gary Fisher was going to be there doing some intensive studies one weekend. Pretty much got off the plane and headed for water. Very quickly after he got to Porto Alegre, Pedro was baptized. He then decided not to go back to Canada to complete the English course he was doing. He's not Canadian, he's Brazilian. But he'd been in Canada doing an English course. He decided not to finish the English course and, in fact, gave up his government job in another state in Brazil so that he could stay there with brethren so that he could try to grow. Started looking for a job in that city. Didn't have much success on that. So as of a few weeks ago, he's now living at my house in São Paulo. In fact, he's taking care of the house while we're gone, and the dogs. He's helping us out in São Paulo, but he's looking for work in São Paulo with the intention to now stay in São Paulo. Pedro has done quite well over this past year and a half nearly since he obeyed the gospel. Been quite an encouragement to brethren in a number of places. And of course, people meeting, as I mentioned, group studies, congregations growing in different parts of the country. Preaching the gospel is about reaching people, getting the gospel out to the people in the places that we are. God has certainly been working. He's been working through you in the congregation here. He's been working through others who have been involved in that work in so many ways. But God is working. God is giving the increase. Please continue to pray that He do that. Continue to give opportunities for the teaching of His word in that part of the world.